Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, I haven't said anything about me being the only one to do anything, so let me try that. I'm the only one to separate Siamese twins. The only one to operate on babies while they were still in the mother's womb. The only one to take out half of a brain, although you would think if you go to Washington that someone had beat me to it. But
well, ladies and gentlemen, we've got Ben Carson in the studio today. No, we really don't, but that was Ben Carson last night at the presidential debates down in Cleveland, or I should say over in Cleveland, Ohio, and what a night it was. Well, good Friday afternoon to each and every one of you. We want to thank you so very, very much for the pleasure of your company as we gather around the radio here this afternoon. And we are actually, we've got just a little bit of more going on in the studio today than normal because we want to take the opportunity to be able to take a look at the debate that happened last night and analyze it a little bit, help you to understand it in a great way. And I think that this is going to be a great program. So in the studio today, we have got, of course, Dave Kistler. We've got his brother, Dan Kistler. We've got a dear friend of ours by the name of Jim O'Brien. And then, of course, yours truly, Gary Dahl. And it's just a blessing to be able to be here gathered around the radio. And also, we would love to have you participate. This is, of course, Phone In Friday, and we would ask you to call if you have a question or a comment that you want to contribute to the discussion here this afternoon. The number to call is 1-877-667-1180. That, of course, is the toll-free number. And the local number in the Philadelphia area where our flagship station is 610-539-8255. That is 610-539-8255. So go ahead and call in if you want to comment on the debate last night, or if you have something that you want to add to the debate. Maybe you have a question that you would like to ask about the debate. Well, we would love to be able to hear from you. And again, we just want to welcome all of our new listeners down in Texas and Oklahoma and New Mexico. The Lord willing, next week we're having some newer stations, which means newer listeners with us as well. And we just thank the Lord for the way that the program continues to develop. We encourage you to go to our website, which is www.standinthegapradio.com. That's standinthegapradio.com. You'll be able to see information there about our three radio programs that we produce here at Stand in the Gap. And, of course, along with that, you will be able to communicate with us should you like to do so. And so, therefore, we encourage you to go to that website. It's, again, www.standinthegapradio.com. We would love to have you go there and just correspond with us. Learn more about us. We are really a team together. Again, the numbers are 1-877-667-1180 or locally 610-539-8255. In the event that you would like to participate in this program, you may indeed do so. Well, last night we had these great presidential debates, and the four of us who are gathered around the radio microphones here this afternoon had the opportunity to watch the debate. We took the opportunity to evaluate the debate, and this is how we came up with the 10 in our ranking. And of course, this is the decision of the minds of the American Pastors Network Stand in the Gap Today staff. Is that a way to put it?
Gary, that is a good way to put it. And in addition to the Stand in the Gap staff, we also had your dad there as well. And he was giving his ranking of each of the candidates. And again, friends, we want you to understand this is not our opinion of the candidates. This is our assessment, trying to be as objective as we could possibly be about how they did strictly in last night's debate.
And so our opinion is something else altogether. But let's read down through these, Dave, every other one. Number one, according to our ranking, was Donald Trump.
Number two, Governor Mike Huckabee.
Number three, Ted Cruz.
Number four, Dr. Ben Carson.
And tied with him was Governor Scott Walker.
Number six, Governor Kasich from Ohio.
Number seven was Rubio.
Number eight was Governor Chris Christie from New Jersey.
Number nine was Bush from Florida.
And last place, according to our rankings, was Senator Ron Paul from Kentucky.
Who, according to...
Rand Paul.
Yeah, who according to Donald Trump, was having a hard time last night.
Well, you know, I would agree with Donald on that. I think Rand Paul... Well, we can talk more specifically later, but he came across just looking as if he were a boy in a man's world, I think, is the way he came across. And just he did not represent himself well.
He was completely out of it.
And also, Gary, I think that if you look at the Nixon debates of many years ago, the one thing that caused him to lose was what he looked like on television. And if you looked at the debates last night, it looked to me like Mike Huckabee, when he was not speaking, looked very worn out. He looked like he'd been up all night. But yet when he was speaking, it seemed like he was more animated. Jeb Bush had a little bit of the same look about him when he was just standing there listening to the rest of the participants. So in that sense, I think that maybe Mike lost a few points because he didn't look as good as I think he has in the past. But that's just to add a little thought to it there.
Well, that's good, Jim. And, of course, we gave you our rankings. We also have the ranking of the Drudge Report. How does it compare with what we came up with, Dave?
Well, you know, Gary, it's very, very interesting. The Drudge Report, ironically, along with the New York Times, had Donald Trump as the number one guy last night. That is, they viewed him as the winner. And then the Drudge Report had Cruz 2. We had Cruz number 3. The Drudge Report had Marco Rubio's number 3, whereas we had Marco Rubio number 7. Number 4 in the Drudge Report was Carson, which is basically we had him tied with Scott Walker. Number 5 was Rand Paul. So the Drudge Report really put Rand Paul much, much higher. We had him in last place. Governor Kasich from Ohio was number 6, and we had him at number 6. Scott Walker, according to the Drudge Report, was number 7. And then they had Mike Huckabee at 8, George Bush at 9, which is where we had Jeb Bush at 9, which is where we had Jeb Bush. Yes, creatures of habit, aren't we? And then Governor Chris Christie was 10, and we had him at 8. So not far off.
The real question that I have that I want to ask you, Dan Kistler, in relationship to this entire debate, you know, we've been talking on this program about Donald Trump. And we've called it the Trump phenomena. And with what took place last night, do you think that Trump was helped? Was he hurt? Or does he remain about the same?
Well, be honest with you, Dr. Gary, I think he helped his cause. I'll say this. Dave and I were talking earlier this morning, and I do not believe that he will win the nomination. But I think he helped his cause last night tremendously because he is who he is. And, he's not a politician. And I thought he responded, came across very well.
He is who he is, and he was what he was, and he will be what he will be. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Stand in the Gap today from the American Pastors Network. We will be back with more right after this, so don't go away. We are going to continue to analyze the presidential debate of last night.
I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. If you're a parent or grandparent and want to help bring spiritual renewal to America, here's where you should start, with your children and grandchildren. Our children need a godly education, one that mirrors the Christian values embraced by our founders and taught in the home by many of you. BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, makes homeschooling fun and exciting. Exceeding all national standards, BJU Press textbooks are accurate, dependable, and well-researched. They're designed to promote excellence for every child and are adaptable to different learning styles and challenges. Carefully integrating a true biblical worldview throughout BJU Press textbooks set the standard for academic instruction. That's why I so strongly endorse BJU Press textbooks and encourage their use by homeschoolers and Christian schools alike. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. That's bjupresshomeschool.com.
So, thank you for coming to my town hall today and how wonderful Common Core is and how much money we got from the federal government for giving up control of education. Any questions?
So, Representative, we have adopted new National Common Core standards, but they are not higher than our existing standards, and they were never really tested.
Well, yes.
And now we have to retrain all our teachers again and make them teach from a script so they can teach to national tests?
Well, yes.
And buy lots of new computers and equipment and copyrighted lessons from the same people who are promoting Common Core?
Well, yes.
And we're going to share all our private, family, medical, disciplinary, and test results with people nationwide. Why are you supporting it?
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
The largest town in Kentucky had less than 2,000 people, yet 25,000 arrived at Cane Ridge, Kentucky this day, August 7th, 1801, from as far away as Ohio and Tennessee, to hear the preaching of Methodist, Baptist, and Presbyterian ministers. Called camp meetings, Reverend Moses Hodge described, "Nothing that imagination can paint can make a stronger impression. Sinners dropping down on every hand, professors praying, others in raptures of joy. There can be no question, but it is of God, as the subjects can give a clear and rational account of their conversion."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
All right. I know this isn't any fun to talk about, but we should. So, who's going to do what? Flashlights?
Nowhere to be found.
Where to be found? Batteries?
Dead.
Great. Emergency supply kits?
Not packed.
No. What about blankets?
We have an old towel.
Good enough. Cell phones?
May not work.
Emergency water?
Not a drop.
And what about food?
Nope.
Perfect. We all know where we're meeting if we're separated, yeah?
The library!
Aunt Joan's house.
The bus stop.
Great. And I'll be waiting here wondering where you all are. Sounds like we don't have a plan. Who's up for mini golf?
Winging it is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today, and we have a panel here in the studio as we are analyzing the presidential debate of last night. And, of course, along with us is Jim O'Brien, a friend of ours, and then, of course, there's Dan Kistler, who's been with us throughout the course of this week. Dave Kistler, myself, Gary Dahl, and Sam Rohr is on assignment, so you can pray for him as he is out there doing his assignment. I hope he turns it in. We'll give him a grade on Monday.
We will definitely give him a grade. And then when he comes back on Monday, we'll have the audience give him a grade on how he did reporting on his assignment. What do you think?
I think that sounds like a great idea.
Sounds like a winner.
So we'll he thinks he has the day off, but we're going to put in the work.
We've got him working hard, friends. We want you to understand that. There is no vacation for those of us here at Stand in the Gap today.
Well, you got that right. Well, we are talking about the debate last night, and we want to encourage you to continue to watch these debates because you need to know where these candidates stand. We also ask you to pray for them. Pray for the debates. Pray for yourself as you watch the debates, that you might have the discernment that you need, the wisdom that you need to understand where each one of these particular candidates stand. Now, what we want to do is to go around the panel here asking each one of the individuals to give us what their perspective is on what took place last night. And we're going to start with Jim O'Brien. Jim?
Gary, I thought it was interesting. If you look at the cross-section of the 10 participants, we have a total of 5 governors and 3 senators. And then we have 3 people that are nowhere near being politicians, unless you want to consider Donald Trump sort of a different kind of a politician. And then we have the doctor. I thought both of the non-politicians. Ben Carson, right, did extremely well. That does not mean I'm supporting either one of them, but I think they did very well, and they did well for their cause. I do think, though, that Donald Trump did some damage in that he would not sign up to not drop from the party and go as an independent. The other thing that...
But you know, let me just interrupt there, Jim. Had he not done that, he would have shown himself hypocritical, because he has indicated that, and by doing that, you know... He was at least honest.
Well, he answered it as a businessman. He said it gives me leverage. It gives me leverage. Okay. So the other thing I wanted to mention is that Rand Paul, I'm surprised he did not raise his hand, because remember his father, was an independent kind of guy, and I thought that maybe Rand would raise his hand as well, but he did not.
Okay, Dan, what are your thoughts on that? Let's hear from your perspective.
Well, you know, as I said, right before the break, I think Donald Trump, helped himself out. I know Dave's going to read something from a listener who thought Trump really hurt himself, came across kind of as a bully. And I can see that, from a certain standpoint. But if you know who Donald Trump is, he was himself. And, he is who he is. And I don't think he hurt himself at all with his constituents. I'll say this: the other guy that really impressed me was Ben Carson. I thought personally Mike Huckabee came in second. I've always liked him, and I did not pick him second because I like him. I just thought he did a good job. He's a tremendous talker. Will do great in debates if he were to win the Republican nomination against the Democratic candidate. But I thought Ben Carson was just tremendous, and of course his lines there in his closing statement were great. I want to say something from an aesthetic standpoint, and I mentioned it to you guys last night. I don't know who is advising Rand Paul, and I cannot remember. Guys, help me out. The other guy who had on the blue shirt, but. Was it Scott Walker? Those guys, and this is just a thing, you dress for success thing, but you need to wear a white shirt because it makes you look washed out when you're there in those lights and that blue shirt. That's why you never see, a president or a newscaster, whatever, an anchor person wearing a blue shirt, because it makes you look washed out. And they need to change their attire. John McCain used to do that a lot, and I just thought it made him look very weak. And if you'll notice, President Obama always, when he's in public, wearing a white shirt. So anyway, just an observation.
Okay, Dave, your thoughts on what took place last night?
Well, gentlemen, I'll be honest with you. I don't think Donald Trump hurt himself terribly. Obviously, he admitted going into the debate last night that he had not done this before. He was not a veteran of this kind of thing. And so I don't think we can be too hard on him. The bully component, and I'm going to read from a dear friend of mine that sent this in. I thought it was very, very insightful. She said she watched both the 5 p.m. debate and the 9 p.m. one, and her assessment was, and I've heard this from a number of people, that Carly Fiorina in the 5 o'clock debate outdid everyone. Here's the comment that this person made. They said she was succinct, full of facts, and had a plan of action, which I have seen to be true anytime I've heard her speak. So I found that to be interesting. This person also said that they thought Trump really hurt himself because he came across as a bully. There is that component. We've talked about it. We'll see when the polls come out, maybe a little later, a few days removed, what people think about that. But this was very, very interesting. And I'm just going to make this comment and then go to you, Gary. But this individual said this: I was very impressed by the direct testimonies given by Scott Walker, Ted Cruz, and Marco Rubio. And gentlemen, I'm going to be honest. I was too. The Scott Walker thing, when he had his chance to speak, came out and said, "I'm a born again Christian." The others did the same thing. That was a blessing and an encouragement. So, I also agree. I think Ben Carson did well for himself, as did Mike Huckabee.
And, you know, I know this doesn't have to do with the individual candidates, but I think Fox did a very fine job in the way that they organized that and put it together.
You know, Gary, if I could say one thing, the first round of questions were gotcha questions, mm-hmm. and they started with Donald Trump. But after that, it became very, very substantive.
It really did. Now, we've heard from each of us around the table here this afternoon. We've heard from a lady who sent an email to Brother Dave. I'm going to tell you what the Democrats had to say about last night. I don't know why I get all the Democrat information. You know, I get letters from Barack Obama, from Michelle Obama, from Hillary Clinton.
Jim, do you get any letters from the president?
Not too often. I get a Christmas card.
Oh, do you?
Really, yeah.
Well, I think they think I'm Donald Trump because they asked me for money. Yeah. You get a Christmas card from the president?
Christmas card, yeah. I got some from George Bush. And I don't know. We're on some kind of a list. Maybe a watch
but
list.
You get it from do you send Obama himself a card yourself?
No, I don't. I've never communicated with the gentleman.
Nice. So. Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. Anyway, here is what Debbie Wasserman Schultz sent out, and I just share this with you folks this afternoon. She says, I had a ringside seat to last night's Republican debate in Cleveland, so I was paying close attention to what was said up on that stage. There were some pretty scary ideas being thrown around, and even scarier, not even a single mention of voting rights, climate change, or a serious plan to help the middle class. But the even more terrifying reality is that next year in Cleveland, one of those 10 voices will become the Republican Party's nominee for president. You know, unless one of their many, many bench warmers surges into contention, or yet another candidate decides to throw his or her hat in the ring. And that, of course, was put into parentheses. And so she goes on and she says, as Democrats, our work begins now to make sure we elect a leader who shares our values and our progressive vision for the future. David, your comment on that, my friend.
Well, Gary, let me say this. If what was discussed last night on the stage was scary, the fact that she would mention that, Mrs. Wasserman Schultz would mention that, is scary to me. And then the things that she deems important, like climate change compared to all the foreign policy issues and other issues that we're facing and that were discussed last night, is beyond troubling. Let me just read this, gentlemen, and then I know you want to comment. I'm reading from a Fox News report. Mark Meckler, the president of Citizens for Self-Government, declared frontrunner Trump, quote, the man with the most to lose and the one who lost the most. Others, though, said that Trump dominated by staying true to his hard-hitting, no-apology style. And, Dan, that's something that you referred to just a minute ago. So all of these, the variety, the incredible variety of response and opinions to last night's debate signals that this thing is still as wide open as it could possibly be.
Now, keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to participate and make a comment on the debate last night, don't hesitate to call. Our toll-free number is 1-877-667-1180, or in the Philadelphia area, it is 610-539-8255. Dan, I have a question for you here this afternoon, and that is, who do you think looked the most presidential last night?
Well, just to be honest with you, again, I've got to go with Mike Huckabee. I know we talked about, and I think Jim mentioned, you know, at least while we were discussing it, the audience may not have heard it, but when the camera was on him and he wasn't talking, he looked somewhat washed out. But when he would talk, very presidential, he's very quick on his feet. He will be a tremendous debate opponent for the Democrats, you know, if he wins the nomination. I just thought personally he looked, and always felt that way, he looks the most presidential.
And I also think he's lost quite a bit of weight.
Yes.
Which maybe contributes to why he looks a little bit gaunt. But I commend him for losing that weight. I think it's going to be needed if he wins the election.
Although I did see him from a side view this morning on the news, and he has a bump in the middle. He's well-balanced.
But he's lost a lot.
You know, gentlemen, one of the things that we're discussing here is quite a dramatic change from prior presidential elections, and I'm talking 50 years ago, 60 years ago, and that is the image presented by the president, the optics of it. People can say, you know, it shouldn't be that important, and in one sense it shouldn't, but it is a component we have to consider.
And ladies and gentlemen, we want to encourage you to stay tuned. We're going to take a break here on Stand in the Gap today. We have a lot more discussion as it relates to the analyzing of the debate last night. And then, of course, we're going to look forward to the continued presidential debate as well that's coming up in September. So you won't want to go away. This is Stand in the Gap Today from the American Pastors Network. Take a break, and we'll be back with you right after this.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of Providence which establish the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. Donald Trump, the only Republican at last night's debate, refusing to say he would not run as an independent if someone else wins the nomination.
That question was absolutely, or that statement was it was just aimed at me, which I didn't think was appropriate, but that's okay.
He tells Fox this morning he would only run as independent if he's mistreated by the Republican Party and doesn't like the nominee, if it's not him. The new numbers on jobs are out.
The Labor Department reported that 215,000 new jobs were created in July, just slightly less than expected. Additionally, the unemployment rate was 5.3% last month, unchanged from June. Though the pace of hiring has slowed from last year, it remains double the rate needed to keep up with population growth.
Fox News Radio's John Decker at the White House. Midday on Wall Street, the Dow's down 122 points. Fox News, we report. You decide.
When Isaac took on the family business, it was his shot at redemption. He'd failed in school, but this was his second chance. So what happened? He failed. Again. But Isaac's story doesn't stop there. His uncle helped him get a college education, where he did well. How well? Fast forward to his full name. Isaac Newton, perhaps the greatest and most influential scientist who ever lived. You probably know him from his theory of gravity. This is Howard Butt Jr. of Laity Lodge with another respected theory. This one is about failure. You don't have to get thunked by a falling object to know that failure can say more about the work than the worker in the high calling of our daily work.
Learn more at thehighcalling.org.
Freedom is not a gift bestowed upon us by other men, but a right that belongs to us by the laws of God and nature. A quote from Benjamin Franklin.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today. And, of course, along with Dave Kistler, I'm Gary Dull, but we've got two extras in the studio today. Of course, Dan Kistler has been with us throughout the course of the week, and then Jim O'Brien, who's a great friend of ours, is with us today. Sam Rohr is on assignment, and of course, the Lord willing, he will be back with us again tomorrow. We do want to encourage you that as we are talking about, not tomorrow, but Monday, maybe Sam will be back tomorrow. You know, that's anyway, I'm like Rush Limbaugh, almost right almost all the time, something like that. But anyway, We would encourage each and every one of you to phone in if you would like to participate in this discussion. Toll-free number is 1-877-667-1180. And the local number in the Philadelphia area is 610-539-8255. And we will go to the phones soon here. But, you know, as we continue our discussion here on the program this afternoon, man, I'm wondering if either one of you have an idea who will be elevated from the JV and who will be cut down from the varsity. You know, of course, as most of our people know, there were two debates last night, one at 5 o'clock for the JV, one at 9 o'clock for the varsity, and that's just the phrase I'm using. And so will there be any movement between those two, Jim?
Gary, I think the first series, which started at 5 o'clock, I think there was a clear winner. Carly Fiorini, the Hewlett-Packard former CEO, did an outstanding job, very articulate, and really had her facts straight, and she knew where she was headed. So my guess is that she's going to be elevated. And if you're looking for a person to sacrifice, if you will, to bring off the top 10, I think it would have to be Rand Paul. That's my expectation.
Okay, Dan, what do you think?
Dr. Gary, I agree with Jim completely. I like Rand Paul. There's certain things that he stands for. You know, he's more libertarian and all that. And the big disagreement with him is his stand with Israel, you know, and his giving foreign aid, you know, cutting everybody, kind of like his dad. But the point is this, I think he will drop out. And I agree with Jim. I think Carly Fiorina will be moved up.
David?
Well, I'm going to echo a ditto to what these gentlemen have said. I think clearly Carly Fiorina is a serious contender. I think she's going to move up into the top tier, and I think at least Rand Paul's going to drop out of the top tier. And there may be some other movement as well, but I think Carly's going to be the one that'll move up.
All right, we want to go to the phones, and of course those numbers are 1-877-667-1180 or 610-539-8255, and we go to John in Philadelphia. John, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. I appreciate your response. It was a rather intense program for a pre-night sleep, I would say. I have a couple comments. One, I was extremely impressed, as I think Dave mentioned, the testimony of Walker and Cruz in front of Trump. And the reason I say that is Trump demonstrated last night that he has an ability to learn and grow because of his testimony on abortion and the story that he told about his friend. Secondly, I don't know whether you know it. This Carlina may be a Christian. I'm not sure. I know she was president of Opportunity International, but I've done some consulting work in Chicago and microenterprise. But I was a little bit of disappointed in her discussion on cyber warfare. I thought she would have come on strong, even though she did bring it up and discuss it. She certainly is the best equipped among the bunch to deal with that issue. And a little humorous note, I trying to think, the Little Rascals had a character in there. I think it was Alfalfa, somebody with hair. I can't remember what it was.
Alfalfa. That's who it was. It was Alfalfa.
Yes, it was.
Well, I can't, not sure, but that, I thought, you know, when I saw Rand Paul with his whatever it was, I thought, you know, somebody should have prepped him a little bit better.
I like that with whatever it was. Actually, he was Curly on the Three Stooges, I think. Or
yeah,
Larry.
Yeah,
Larry.
Yeah, Larry. John, that is a great, great analogy.
Jim, why don't you comment on
it? I love that. I mean, I can picture it. I mean, I can remember watching those cartoons with the Buckwheat and all the other our gang. But getting more serious, on the issue of cyber warfare, it's here to stay, folks. No longer are we focused so much on bullets and, you know, things that go bang in the night, but rather things that go around the earth seven times a second. And recently, who was it that said that he thinks that the Russians know more about what's in Hillary's server than the CIA does or whatever? And it could very well be, for that matter. We are very, very active in working in cyber warfare ourselves. And you're not hearing a lot of times when we are penetrated because you're acknowledging that they were successful. So you don't want to sort of feedback and say, yes, indeed, it was successful. But I worked in the Pentagon for 15 years, and I saw cyber warfare activity grow and grow and grow. And, of course, one of the big headquarters right now is in Fort Meade, which is just north of Washington, D.C. But directed energy is really sort of the macro piece of it, we call it. And that's lasers and dazzlers and radio frequency weapons and then, of course, your cyber warfare.
Okay, Jim. And, John, thank you very much. Can I make one last comment on Carson?
I was a little disappointed. I thought Carson was a believer by a prior testimony. I may be wrong on that. He did not demonstrate that as clearly as I would have liked. However, he did say something before this debate, and that was about wisdom. And if anything, he emphasized the need for wisdom in the leadership for our country. And, of course, it's godly wisdom as we look at it from the believer's point of view. So that's all the comments I had.
Okay, John, thank you very much for your call, and call back again. Dan, you want to deal with that, please?
Yes, John, I agree with you. I was a little disappointed in that, too. However, if you have read his book, about America and making America great again, things of that nature, the thing that impresses me about him, I guess, is his humility. And even last night when he gave his closing comments, and it was kind of an off the cuff thing, about the removing half the brain and all that, which was very clever. He still came across so humble. He's not trying to exalt himself. And to me, that is a tremendous quality.
It is a tremendous quality. And of course, John said there that he was a little disappointed maybe in the clarity of his testimony. Earlier, before we went on the air, Jim, you made a comment on the amount of people who were up on that stage last night who claimed to know Christ.
Well, yes, there were. When you think about the list, let me look at the list again just to remind me. You have Mike Huckabee and Dr. Ben Carson. We just mentioned him. And by the way, go back to the National Prayer Breakfast, where he gave a very extensive explanation of his faith. So we can't forget that. So, I mean, it's not like you have to do it every time you get up to speak, and he had limited time. And then you've got also Ted Cruz. I mean, who could miss that? And Scott Walker. And Governor Kasich was a little, I mean, he gave a little bit, but it wasn't really a clear presentation of his faith, but at least there was something there, at least.
This is an interesting thing, Dave, and I'll go to you on this, but I've been around for almost 63 years, and of course, I think the first person that I voted for was Richard Nixon. But I don't recall any time where we've had as many people that we could vote for who claim to know Jesus Christ as Savior. You think God's up to something here?
Well, Gary, I do. The first person I was able to vote for was, of course, Ronald Reagan, and he was a committed believer. He did not, as Jim said, wear that on his sleeve. He didn't talk about it all the time, but he did talk about it, and he certainly lived it. So, yes, Gary, I do. I think we have a unique opportunity. And what I'm trying to say to Christians as I talk to them and as they converse with me and say, what do you think is going to happen in 2016? I said, look, we here at the American Pastors Network do not endorse candidates. But what I'm going to say to you is this. We have great choices this time. We have phenomenal choices. Men, when have we had in our lifetime as many potentially good choices as we have right now? So it's really something that I believe God is putting together.
And Gary, can I say this? The fact that Debbie Wasserman Schultz thinks that these candidates are so bad tells you how good they are. It really does, because you can tell a lot about how your enemies think about you.
Well, there's no doubt about that. My question right now is, who do you think on that platform last night would do the best against Hillary Clinton? Dan, you're there. Why don't you answer?
Well, again, I'm going to reveal who my favorite is, okay? I think Mike Huckabee, he is such a good public speaker. He's quick on his feet. He's almost Reagan-esque. I think he will make the greatest debate opponent, even though I don't think Hillary's going to win the nomination. I think he will provide the best opportunity for us to win those debates in the actual, presidential race.
I actually don't think that Hillary's going to be in the race by the end of this year. I think that these legal troubles she has is just going to ruin her, Jim.
Yeah, I think Scott Walker also would be an excellent president. But I think the one thing that I'd like to see is a little more fire in his belly, I think that would really finish the package.
I think even, Huckabee could have a little bit more fire in his belly, too, but... Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to take a break, as we must do at this time. But we are going to be back with more discussion on the presidential candidates and their debate last night. You are listening to Stand in the Gap Today, a ministry of the American Pastors Network. Don't go away. We've got much more right after these messages.
Dishonest money dwindles away, but he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. But have you ever stopped to ask how much is enough or how much is too much? Will the money you leave to your family come between them and God? Have you ever said, I am rich, I've acquired wealth, I don't need a thing? I believe that God increases our wealth not to increase our standard of living, but to increase our standard of giving. This is Roy Russell, president of the Life Financial Group, a Christian wealth advisory firm. We work with believers and especially widows to wisely manage the wealth and efficiently pass it on to the children and grandchildren. We are financial, tax, and estate planners. We help successful Christians make wise decisions with their money so they can better provide for their families and leave a legacy of significance. Please call me with your questions or to discuss your needs and desires at 800-688-5800. That's 1-800-688-5800 or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. Candidates and politicians are fond of saying that our children are our future, only to then proceed to saddle them with unimaginable debt, thanks to out-of-control spending and massive government waste. I wish I had an instant solution for that, but I don't. But here at Pennsylvania Family Institute, we take seriously our commitment to the next generation. And one way we show it is with our City on the Hill Youth Leadership and Worldview Camp, held the last full week of July each summer. It's a life-changing week that helps teens discover and guide their God-given leadership skills for their own good and for the benefit of others. This year, we've got our best lineup of speakers ever, and we still have space for a few more high school teens to come. So don't let your high schooler miss it. For details, go to pafamily.org or call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1. That's 1-800-FAMILY-1.
Once all the experts, political pundits, and philosophers declare their best advice for life, confusion and disagreement will still remain. On the other hand, King Solomon, the wisest man, shared advice that, if heeded, would provide direction and certainty. It would change the world. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, Solomon said, "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the entire duty of man. Because God will bring every action into divine review with every secret thing, and he will determine whether it was good or evil." That's right. Every deed, every action, and every thought, public or private, is being recorded by God Almighty, the great judge of all mankind. Everything, nothing hidden, nothing covered, nothing secret. How much do you fear God and keep his commands? I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network asking you, whose advice are you heeding? Some human expert or God who will judge even the experts?
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend, you were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie, I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and certainly we do want to thank you for listening to the program today. We've been having a roundtable discussion here with Jim O'Brien, Dan Kistler, Dave Kistler, myself. Sam Rohr is on assignment today. He'll be back with us on Monday. But I have one question, Dave, that I want to ask you, and that is this. What is the message to the American voter after watching the debate last night?
Well, a couple of things. One of them encouraging, and then another statement that just I think it should elicit a lot of prayer. The encouraging statement is this, Gary. Again, we have never had such good candidates in a long time. In fact, in my lifetime, I don't know that we've had such a multiplicity of candidates from a variety of backgrounds, some experienced politicians, some not, but a number of committed believers that are among them. And so we've got good choices. We need to pray that God's will be done and that a man will be elected, woman will be elected, that will honor God and seek him first. The thing about it is this, as we move further and further down the line, obviously many of these candidates are going to begin to drop out. And what we don't want, Gary, and what we need to pray that we don't get is just another Democrat-like candidate, another, and I'm going to use the term, it's tossed around a lot, establishment candidate. Mm-hmm. We need someone that's going to wrestle this thing to the ground. There's going to be a goring that takes place in the process, and whoever's president's going to have to be willing to get bloody. But if the nation's going to turn around, it's going to take someone of substance and the willingness maybe not to get reelected.
And Gary, also, I think no matter what the candidate is, they can say what they want during the campaign. But I had a sign in my office that said, after all is said and done, usually more is said than done. And that's what happens. We elect them under one pretense and then they go to Washington and basically blend in. I just hope that doesn't happen. The encouraging piece is that a larger number of people watched the debate last night than ever before. 10 million people.
Mm, wow.
So it shows interest, which is wonderful. People aren't out there just bored. I think that was a very exciting process.
The next one is September. I'm not sure what that date is, but we'll keep you up to date on that, ladies and gentlemen, because we do want to encourage you to keep up on these debates. It's one of the ways that you can find out where these individuals stand. And for certain, please pray that we'll have the wisdom and the discernment to vote for the right person coming up. And it's a while away yet, but, you know, right now is the time to begin to pray. November 2016 is, 13, 14, 15 months away, but now is the time to start praying. We want to switch gears for just a moment. We've been talking a lot on this program about the Iranian nuclear deal that we think is a sham. It's sad for Israel. It's sad for the United States of America. And it's very interesting that it has just come out overnight that Senator Chuck Schumer, who undoubtedly will be the next leader of the Democratic Party in the Senate, has basically announced his opposition to the Iranian nuclear deal. Dave, your thoughts on that, sir?
Well, again, Gary, we have talked a little bit on this program about this. Since Chuck Schumer is going to be evidently the next leader on the Democratic side of the Senate, that what he does will draw others behind him, those that want to get in good with him, that want to be appointed to certain positions, key committee positions, are going to probably vote the way Chuck Schumer votes. So the fact that he has come out and announced that he is against the Iranian nuclear deal is potentially huge. If other Democrats follow him, then this thing can be defeated. It can potentially be defeated.
And we want to encourage people to pray that it is defeated, because it's not a good thing at all. We want to go to another caller, Mike, in Huntington, Pennsylvania. Mike, welcome to Stand in the Gap today.
Well, good afternoon. It's a good thing that Dave read that email from the woman that mentioned Carly Fiorino, because you guys would have really missed the big story of the night. And she not only won that first debate, but she was the big winner of the night overall, because I think her name recognition among Republican voters or voters in general was in the low 30s. After last night, a whole lot more people know her. So she was the overall winner, hands down, of the first debate, but she's the overall winner with the amount of attention that she got in the press that she got, don't you think?
Mike, that is a great observation. This is Dan. I did not get to see the first debate at 5 o'clock, but some things I've read this morning said exactly what you've said. So tremendous observation. I think you're 100% right, and several of us believe that she will bump up to the top tier, next debate. So great call, great observation.
Yeah, Mike, I would follow suit with what Dan said. We talked before one of the breaks on the program that she's going to move up from the bottom tier, as we're calling it, up to the top tier. And once people get to see her on the stage holding her own, and perhaps even more than that with these other top-tier candidates, her numbers are not going to do anything but rise. She is one incredibly intelligent, sharp, committed individual.
Well, beyond-
and I also just wanted to throw in a couple of thoughts here, and that is that I think she could make it even if she's not a woman. In other words, we're not electing her because she's a woman. We're electing her because she's qualified, and she's got business experience with Hewlett-Packard and other corporations, and I think she'd be able to solve the problems we've got in this country.
Mike, I want to thank you. Excuse me. I want to thank you very much for your call. And, it's interesting to note that this morning on Fox News, I saw Carly basically make that same statement. She said, nobody really has recognized my name, but now they do. And I think she's going to come forward quite a bit.
Well, Gary, I do too. And it's an exciting thing to see someone who's out of the political mainstream. They're not someone who's been involved in politics like Ben Carson, like Donald Trump, like Carly Fiorina, to see them do as well as they're doing. And they're not going to do anything but improve. That is what our founders really envisioned as far as those people that would run for president, not those that are established political types.
We've talked earlier in the program today that we don't think that, at least I said this, and Dan, I think you made a statement relative to it as well, that Hillary is not going to be the Democratic nominee. I personally think that these legal issues that she's dealing with is going to take her out of the race. If she's not the one for the Republicans to be concerned about, who is?
I'm going to go back to my comments I've made before. I think it will be Michelle Obama. Now, a lot of people may raise eyebrows at that, but I think that's the case. A little bit of humor here. Wouldn't it be something if Joe Biden won the Democratic nomination and Donald Trump won the Republican? That'd be a hair-raising experience, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
a battle of hairstyles.
Oh, brother.
I was just going to say, yeah, who has the hair?
Hair-raising experience. Yeah, that goes back to Dr. John's call earlier today. But you know what? I think it's pretty serious. In my opinion, Dave, the Democrats really don't have what I would consider to be a real good, solid candidate out there.
Well, Gary, they don't. And some would say maybe this is all a setup and that Hillary is being sabotaged like she was in 2008 for a dark horse candidate to come out of nowhere and come in on their white steed and bring the Democrats to victory. So that's interesting what Dan said.
Wow. Well, next year this time we'll know. Jim O'Brien, Dan Kistler, thank you for being with us today. Time flies when you're having fun, and folks, we want to encourage you to continue to listen to us here or go to our website because, there's more information about our radio program there. It's www.standinthegapradio.com. That's the program for today. The Lord willing, we will be back with you Monday along with Sam Rohr again. Until then, stand in the gap for faith and freedom. Keep looking up, for the best is yet to come.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.americanpastorsnetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission.
Hi, this is Nancy Becker, the Recorder of Deeds in Montgomery County. I'd like to read a quote from Mark Twain. In the beginning of a change, the patriot is a scarce man and brave and hated and scorned. When his cause succeeds, the timid join him, and then it costs nothing to be a patriot.